with the latest news now.
Junior doctors and consultants are to go on strike together on the 20th of September and the 2nd, 3rd and 4th of October. The BMA say it's the first time in the history of the NHS that both sets of medics are walking out on the same dates. There'll only be what's described as Christmas Day cover in hospitals. The government is telling more than 100 schools, colleges and nurseries in England to close some of their buildings. It's over concerns about a type of aerated concrete they've been built with which can collapse. Grant Shapps has been promoted to Defence Secretary as Rishi Sunak handed him his fifth cabinet role in a year in a mini reshuffle prompted by Ben Wallace's resignation. But Labour's Emily Thornberry thinks the reshuffle isn't going to make much difference.
It really doesn't matter how many new jobs Rishi Sunak gives to his friends. It's still moving the deck chairs. They're still a sinking ship. This country really needs change. And the only change that they're going to get is if we get a Labour government. And we get a Labour government soon.
New government rules mean police officers guilty of gross misconduct will automatically be dismissed. Chief Constable Gavin Stevens is chair of the National Police Chiefs Council, and he says senior officers are back in control.
That's been one of the concerns about how long these processes take. Putting chief officers back in the chair means that we can really make progress in getting through these cases. So the investigations need to be proportionate, but of course thorough and fair and balanced.
And the charity managing Hampton Court Palace is advising visitors how to avoid ULEZ fees despite entering the expanded area. Historic royal palaces say drivers who turn left out of the car park will not be seen by the scheme's cameras. That's the latest from Radio News Hub. I'm Edward Breslin.
When you're struggling with debt, you can't leave your future to chance. Trust Credit Fix, the UK's most reliable IVA provider. With more five-star Trustpilot reviews than anyone else in the debt industry, we could help write off up to 81% of what you owe. Don't leave debt to chance. Leave it to Credit Fix. Text ACT to 60777 today. Terms apply, not suitable for all. Can affect credit. For more, see creditfix.co.uk/add terms. Free advice at moneyhelper.org.uk.
Radio Newark weather with the YMCA Village.
Some rain for parts of England and Wales tonight, but mostly dry in Scotland. Pretty cloudy everywhere, with temperatures down to lows of 10 degrees Celsius.
Radio Newark weather with the YMCA Village, here for young people. Check out our impressive range of recreational activities for young people. It's the perfect way to stop the kids from getting bored this summer. See ymcanewarkshower.org for details.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
I did my best to notice when the call came down the line. Up to the platform of surrender, I was brought but I was kind. And sometimes I get nervous when I see an open door. Close your eyes, clear your heart. Cut the cord, are we human? Or are we dancers? Sign is vital. My hands are cold, and I'm on my knees looking for the answer.
gotta let me know. Are we human? Or are we dancing? My sign is vital. My hands are cold. And I'm on my knees looking for the answer.
Good evening and welcome to Radio Newark Sport with Gory. A big welcome to you all. And just want to mention Code Fitness from last week. We had a great, great night with those guys. And thanks again for coming in and speaking to us. Another treat this week. I have with me the legend that is Mr. Phil Joslin. Evening, Phil.
Good evening, Mark. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, no, it's always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Yeah, thanks, Phil. What we're going to do is going to have another little break, and then, Phil, we're going to talk about the local sport. You're going to help me tonight. We're going to talk about what's been going on sports-wise in the last week, and we'll see you guys shortly.
One is you make me happy, two is you set me free from all the things that help me, that from just being me. Thank you for all the sweetness, now I can finally breathe. I can finally breathe, but baby, don't you see? I still get frustrated, I can lie. When you keep on doing things I don't like, and I hate your friends, and I hate your mood, and I still love you. I got 21 reasons why I seven and nine, ten, keep on counting. I still love you. I got 21 reasons why.
And welcome back to Radio Newark Sport. There's a big welcome from me, it's Gory, and big welcome to Phil Joslin, who's joining me this evening. So, Phil, what's been going on in Newark this week? So there's been a couple of quite big games going on. First one being your friends over at Southwall.
They did well, really, Southwall, yeah. Good, they've got a good setup now at Brinkley. And I think they get quite a few watching them, Mark.
From what I understand, yeah. No, I bet they got a few this weekend. It doesn't actually say, but They played Kirby Muxloe, who seemed to be a good outfit, in the FA Vars for their first time in their history, which I thought was amazing. And to top it off, they had a great win. Yeah. So, yeah. No, that's
was
great news.
6-0, I think, Mark, yeah.
And, yes, I knew it. They did as well in the FA Vars, 6-0, wasn't it? Just looking at that. Yeah, so Newark Town, they're doing okay. I think they've had a reasonable start. I've been speaking to Tony about it. They've had a reasonable start, and that in the Vars was great. But I also know they played last night against Bourne. Now, between you and me, Phil, I know Bourne are chucking a lot of money into their team. They so to get a one, I think they Bourne scored in the last minute, I think. So they nearly got themselves 3 points as well. But that was really good. So Newark Town have done all right. Just mentioned to you as well, I went to watch Newark and Sherwood on Monday at home. Great atmosphere there, you know, Phil.
Yeah, I went last season, just went undercover actually to have a look at a referee.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I did. doing that for the FA, and it's a really good thing. So I went there last season, and it's fantastic now that there's a vibe in Newark now that's encouraging people to play.
Yes.
There's a vibe now, and it's great that. People's going to watch them, people supporting them, and it's a credit due to these people that run them. It's a credit due, because I know the FA's putting a lot now on secretaries and that, and they're doing a fantastic job. And how long is it, Mark, that we've been in Newark and we've been screaming for a team, and now look at us, you know, we're going from strength to strength, you know.
Yeah, it's amazing. It is amazing. I mean, that game on Monday, they played AFC Mansfield, 1-0 down, and managed to scrape a draw. But actually, I saw it. I thought they should have won it. They should have won it by a lot of goals as well. They had a lot of chances in the second half. But it was a good atmosphere, and there was a lot of people there cheering. And you know, it's good for me because it's an old club that I used to play for. It's obviously done a bit of journeyman football at the minute. But it's a really good setup there. And I, you know, thanks to Collingham for hosting them as well, because I think they deserve some credit as well.
Yeah.
So they managed a 1-1 draw. They're looking forward to the weekend to try and get back on the winning ways again. So moving away from... we're talking about Collingham, aren't we? So Damo at Collingham just had another win again last night. Wow, what can you say about that?
Well, I've known Damo for many, many years. And I saw him last year when I went to Gainsborough. He's a really knowledgeable guy. And when you talk to him about referees, he's constructive, but he'll have a chat with you. He'll have a chat with referees. Boy, it's a great, and I do look at Damo as being somebody that's really positive regarding managing teams, regarding managing players.
Yeah,
and there was a couple of players at Gainsborough that spoke very, very well of him. Yeah,
but it's great. It's sad for Gainsborough, but good news for Colin. They had another win, so they've had a really good start. But just moving quickly away from the football, Phil, we've got a couple of stories here that I know are really quite exciting. There's a couple of girls, and both called Zoe. They're in the Advertiser this week. Zoe Smith did some running for England under-20s, came away with a couple of good medals, still only young. And then Zoe Lucas as well. She got an amazing time in the 100-metre hurdles, got her best time ever. So we've got some real talent in the athletics. We're going to get the athletics girls in, I think, at some point, because there's lots going on over there as well. And I think I mentioned Elizabeth Wilson from Norwood Park. She's done amazing in the golf, and she keeps turning out some really, really good scores. So, you know, well done to her. She won the England Schools last year. So Norwood have really got a good golfer there in Elizabeth. Manny Norkett. It's not about his football, to be fair. I just wanted to mention Manny, and hope you're doing all right, mate. But he's signed up to do some charity work, tackling, you know, the homeless thing. So, so we might have a chat with Manny and see how that's going in the future. And I think that was a really good thing to say. And then, again, on the same sort of vein, there were three brothers. This was amazing as well, what a story, who just signed up to do the London Triathlon for charity. Now, these three brothers, it's a triathlon, so it's not an easy thing to do. And they just effectively just said, right, we're going to do it, and they signed up, and they've made loads of money and for the NSPCC, which is which is great. So I thought those guys deserved a mention as well this week. So what we're going to do, Phil, thanks to everybody, and we're just going to have another song, and then we'll be back talking to the man. We'll see you in a bit.
Radio Newark.
Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
When you want to enhance your outside space with a brand new driveway, you need a company you can depend on. A company that values reputation and trust. And one that delivers quality through detail. One name stands out from the rest. CF Surfacing. We'll work with you from start to finish and deliver the perfect driveway for you. CF Surfacing are part of CF Construction, a recognised name in the region and still a family-run business. Call CF Surfacing to discuss your project on 01522 253333 or see our website cfconstruction.co.uk/surfacing.
Smith's Timber Merchants are a family-run business serving the local community. Our range of products is enormous and our customer service is second to none. It's one of the reasons we've been around since 1862, and we offer free local delivery with no minimum value. We're open Monday to Saturday from 8 till 5 and Sundays from 10 till 2. Smith's Timber Merchants are proud to be local. Visit us on Appleton Gate, Newark. Call Newark 702573 or find us online at smithstimber.co.uk.
Hold me, don't let me go. Be the one and only, take all control. Stay with me forever, at least for the night. Even when you leave me, lead me to the light. You are my desire.
Welcome back to Radio Newark with Gorey and the man that is the legend referee from Newark, Mr. Phil Joslin. Welcome, Phil.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you very much, mate. Yeah, lovely. Nice to be here.
Great. So, nice. Thank you for coming in. It's been, I mean, you was always on the list to come in for, so don't you worry about that. So, Phil, refereeing. You did a bit of it over your time. Where did it all start? How did you do it?
Well, I had a motorbike accident, actually, on Beacon Hill Road in Newark. And I was in hospital. I used to play Bailey Rovers. You'll not be able to remember.
I remember Bailey Rovers. Dave Cumberland played for Bailey.
Yeah,
I remember that.
Yeah, and I couldn't really get back into it. And another good, unlucky referee in Newark come to me and he said, Phil, do you want to take a referee's course? And it was Paul Butler, and I just said, I could referee Paul. But anyway, we was day release from Worthington Simpsons where I worked, and it was on a Monday day release, wasn't the referee's course started when I finished day release. So I thought I'd stop. Right. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. 1979.
Well, what would you be back in 79 then, Phil?
I'd like to say 21. 7 or 8. But I was 17.
17.
I've given my age away now, Mark. I've given my age away now, haven't
you? So 1979, 17 years old, you started your refereeing career. Yeah. So you had a motorbike accident quite young then?
Yeah, did. Yeah, did.
And what? So legs damaged? What?
Yeah, broke my leg. One of the worst things that happened to me, I broke my jaw. I think all my friends was pleased about that. In them days, they used to wire your jaw up, so I couldn't speak a lot. But I went along. Paul got me into the referees course and went along with Doug Rawson, who took me to games and looked after me. And it progressed like that, to be fair. And, yeah, it was just a dream, to be honest. I loved it.
You did?
I loved it. I loved it.
Well, you've been a role model for a lot of kids that I know are doing it. But where you obviously started local, was that what happens? Is it they just give you local games?
Yeah, so you start off on doing youngsters, and then one of my first ever games was at Doddington, Dry Doddington, and that went quite well, to be honest. It went quite well, and people you've said, oh, this kid's not bad. So anyway, it went on from there, Mark, and you get then appointed to Newark Alliance Sunday morning games, and people's heard me say this before, and it gives me great pleasure to sit here and say thank you very much for the people that I refereed in those days, because they helped me get there, and people who I've met and people who I see, and I'm privileged to sit next to you, Mark. You people helped me. You look at the games that you got, and by God, they was tough games. You know, the Castle Barge versus RHP, I always used to get them games. But they nurtured me, they helped me, they really did. And people would come up and say, this lad's not bad, this lad. And, you know, I was getting encouraged by people who was watching me, and your name got sort of mentioned in positive lights. And just, then I went through to the Northern Counties East. And, yeah, it was just fantastic. Fantastic, but I loved refereeing in Newark all them years ago. It was magnificent, and we had some battles, Mark.
Yeah, I mean, we'll leave it there for a minute. We're going to give a song. I think it's one you've chosen, Phil, because I want to talk about the RHP battle with the barge.
Yeah.
Before we move on to the big stuff, so we'll see you guys in a minute. We'll be right back.
Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Inspire Learning's college courses for young people offer qualifications in maths, English and IT, plus vocational qualifications and traineeships in health and social care, hospitality, construction and many more. With small class sizes, supportive tutors and study plans tailored to suit you and your needs, Inspire Learning will not only help you achieve your goals for work and education, but also for life. You can also earn as you learn, up to £100 a month, which won't affect any benefits. To find out how an Inspire Learning college course can help you, call Mansfield 476 830 or visit inspireculture.org.uk.
And welcome back to Radio Newark Sport with Gory and Phil. So, Phil, we've landed in the Newark when you were refereeing in Newark, and we loved those games. I mean, even as a player, the Castle Barge was our nemesis, and we had some battles, didn't we?
Yeah, didn't we?
You enjoyed those games as a referee, though, didn't you?
Very, very much. I mean, it was challenging. It was great. But, you know, and there's sometimes I had to be strong and firm, but I think the players perhaps knew where they was, and I would perhaps try and talk to them, try and encourage them, try and inspire them to be the best they can, really. But sometimes you just had to be firm. Remember one day, used to live on Beacon Hill Road, and I'd done a real... I thought the game had gone really well for me, and I think the players did. I think they enjoyed it. And I was sat doing my reports, and a couple of guys was walking past the house and said, "What are you doing, Phil?" I says, "I'm just writing your flipping reports from this morning." So they come in and they wrote it with a smile on the face.
That was a yellow card.
Yeah, the yellow card, yeah. But, you know, that was the sort of fun that I think everybody had in Newark. I can't thank the people enough, to be honest, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. And when anybody says to you they don't think you're too bad, you know, and it inspired me, and it inspired me to think, hey, I could perhaps do well in this game. So it was all down to them sort of games, and I could sit here for half an hour saying individuals not going to do that because you know who they are, but you people out there have, poor dear, I can't thank you all enough.
But if you, so I went to watch Newark and Sherwood on Monday, and the referee, I thought, had a very, very good game. And actually, Phil, I said this to you earlier, he reminded me a hell of a lot of you. And the reason I say that is because he was talking to the players, yep. You know, and he'd made a decision, and it might be, no, I thought 90% of the time he made the right decision. I thought he handled the game really well. But he was talking to the players. Yeah. And that's exactly what you did, Phil.
Well, tried to. It was all about, it was all about speaking to the players. It was all about, you know, being firm if you wanted to be firm, but letting them know where you was. But generally, we encourage that, and we still encourage that, that if they can impose the personality on the game in a positive way, then it can only enhance the game itself. Mm. Mark, it's not about individual people, it's about imparting your own personality on the game, you know.
You did that, Phil. I mean, I'm going to, before we move out of the Newark scene, because I think it was, the Newark scene was great back in the 80s and 90s, and right. As a player, I loved it, and it was a challenge, even, you know, it was Premiership Sunday morning, yeah. Football, but it was a challenge.
Yeah.
But I remember we played somebody, one of the teams who probably, and this is amazing, we played a team who probably wasn't as one of those challenges that we normally were used to, and we were 1-0 up, Phil, after about 6 minutes, and I'd like your opinion on the decision you made here, because I went down in the box, and he actually did take me out cleanly, and even you said to me, "Mark, thanks for getting up, Gory," he said, "but you're 1-0 up, and we want to make a game of it." So, from a referee's perspective, Phil, going back to 1986 there with that decision, can you just talk me through it?
Yeah, it was a good decision from the referee, actually, because, you know, I do see players go down theatrically, and I think he was caught just above the knee at full throttle, Mark, but it's the way he went down. So I just thought, I want to play on here. You know, it may well have been a foul. We're close to a red card, to be honest, but I'm not a big fan of players going down theatrically and diving. So I just thought, play on. Anyway, you won the game, Mark, so it was quite easy.
Appreciate that, thanks, Phil.
You know, it's a memory that you got, and perhaps looking back on it, perhaps it was a penalty, but we're still here, we're smiling together, and we can have a laugh about it.
Yeah, I was smiling, Phil, after you said thanks for getting up. I wasn't getting up. Just can we talk about some of the other referees, Phil, that you did in the Newark area that were okay? I can remember, there was a couple I remember. Dickie Slater, I remember.
Oh, he was
a character, wasn't he?
Oh, he was a character once. I went to listen to Richard once. He did a speech, Richard did. And now he never made the television, I do not know. He had everybody in tears with some of the things that he did on the field of play. Unbelievable character. In those days, it was fantastic. You know, what a guy. Poor dear, yeah.
Well, I haven't seen this gentleman for a long time, but you've just been talking about the Dave McMahon incident. That was the funniest thing, wasn't it? and what a day to do it on, by the way.
Yeah, I'll never forget that. The Willie Hall Cup final when Dave McMahon, a lot of people might not know Dave, but he was perhaps one of the best goalkeepers in Newark. I think he stood about 6'7", 6'8", and he made this decision, did Richard, in the Willie Hall Cup final, which certainly Dave didn't agree with, and he picked Richard up, he held him up, and Richard, in his inimitable way, said, David, put me down, that's all I have to send you off.
There's about 300 people watching this match.
I'll never forget that. Never ever forget that. And that was the fun in those days. You could have a bit of fun. It wouldn't be right, and you'd expect disciplinary action. But it worked for Richard Slater. It worked for him.
You couldn't have a go at Richard.
No.
You know, he was one of those guys you couldn't turn around and go, well, what you want to say to him with some of his decisions. But
yeah.
But that was brilliant. Any other memories from referees local?
Well, yeah, I mean, Paul was a super referee. He was unlucky. He was very unlucky. Yeah, Dave Bryan, poor dear me, what sad news we had the other week with Dave. But Dave was a good referee. There was a lot of good referees in Newark at the time, and, you know, they inspired me, really. And you've got, it's bad, really, but Jeff Jackson was a great guy. You know, Doug Rawson's fantastic person, and Newark Alliance didn't just live for the younger referees, you know, the older referees put loads in, and it was just great to go to the referees society meetings. And Pete Oxbury again, wow.
Pete Oxbury, an artist character, dear. I was thinking about Pete Oxbury.
You know, poor dear, he'd say it how it was, would Pete?
Yeah, he was a good guy. Well, we're going to have another little break, Phil, because then we're going to move away and we're going to take you through your career a little bit further. So we'll see you guys in a sec.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
When your kids are ill, you just want to help them feel better. But you don't always need antibiotics. Get advice from your local pharmacy, or search NHS Choices.
Find fantastic entertainment on your doorstep at the Palace Theatre Newark. From hilarious comedy to absorbing drama, star names to terrific tributes, find family fun, romantic date ideas and big nights out with friends, all in the heart of town. Find the full programme and book now at palacenewark.com or call Newark 655-755.
Yeah, and welcome back. I'm here with Phil at Radio Newark Sport. So, Phil, so we've Newark, you local referee, Newark. Things took a bit of a lift for you, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. I refereed at Lincoln United in the FA Cup, actually. It was FA Cup early round, and I didn't know until the game finished, but the chairman of the FA was at Lincoln United. Can you believe that? And the game went okay. And obviously my name got bandied about, and for positive reasons. And, it just seemed to go from strength to strength. But I never lost the faith of enjoying it. You know, I always enjoyed it. And, you get observed and you get promoted if you're good enough, or you can get removed if you're good enough. But you know, my career did go from strength to strength, and I did have some kickbacks. And I think now people listening to this, I got removed from the what they call the National League now, got removed from that because my performances weren't good enough. And I think when you're refereeing, when you're playing football, when you're doing anything, you've got to have the knockbacks to learn from those. And I did, and it's a matter of how you handle yourself in those situations. You know, everybody who gets to the top just don't get to the top without knockbacks.
Mm.
And the knockbacks you get, there's two ways you can handle a knockback. You can say, oh, not going to bother, you know, this sort of person weren't right or whatever. But if you handle it positively and you do the best you possibly can, you can't do any more. Can't do any more than that, Mark. So, yeah, fortunate. I had a good work.
So when you say the National League, what is now? Was that the old conference?
Yes.
Okay, so you were at that level, weren't you, at one point?
Yeah, so you get promoted through the Northern Counties League, as it was, and if your performances are good, then you get promoted in those days to the National League, which was a conference. And I was very, very inconsistent, to be fair, in the first time. I had 3 years on, and, you know, I was near the bottom, and then I did near the top, and then somewhere in the middle. And over 3 years, my performances weren't good enough, and they removed me. And then that shows that, you know, I'm not going to let what's happened affect me. I'm going to do the best I possibly can. But one thing I weren't very good at in those days, I weren't very consistent. I was not consistent. And I thought, right, and I was still on the line as well, you know, doing some big games. And I thought, well, I wanted to referee. I always referee. But I wanted to be consistent.
Yeah.
And I proved that I was consistent. You know.
And so you went, obviously, like National League, you dropped out, you went back in. Then what, your refereeing started, what, League Two? Did you work your way up through the leagues?
So what happened in those days, Mark, is that you got promoted to the National League, but I was still on the line. I got promoted as a Football League assistant referee. It was a dual role in those days. So you'd referee in the Northern Counties, and if you did well on the Northern Counties, loved the Northern Counties, again, going back to the Newark Alliance, Northern teams just getting stuck in.
Mm.
And that's going back to the Newark Alliance, the same, getting stuck in. So you manage that on the Northern Counties the same as you did in Newark. Albeit the players might have been a little bit more professional, but, you know, they was getting paid good money. But, you know, you got promoted, if you did well as a referee, to the Football League line.
Yeah.
And my first ever line was unbelievable. I went to Rotherham and ended up being senior assistant.
Okay.
Both the referee and the senior linesman came off.
What, injured?
Yeah.
Well, did they get tackled as well?
They got tackled as well, yeah. So that was amazing. That was amazing.
So what, did you actually end up refereeing that game?
No, it was senior. They had to get two people out of the crowd to come and do the game, and the senior assistant took over as referee.
Right.
Because in those days, there weren't fourth officials.
Just had a senior assistant.
Yeah, you did. So that was great. But, you know, and then I only did 1 year on the Football League and got promoted to the Premier League. Couldn't believe it.
As a referee or just
as an assistant referee?
As an assistant referee.
Yeah.
Okay.
So your pathway then was refereeing and you got promoted as a linesman. And then you got reported as a lino, and you got promoted onto the Premier League through your linesman's marks, or as it's now known, your assistant referee marks. So, oh dear, it's a dream, really. It's a dream.
Yeah, it's brilliant, yeah. So, big games, which ones? Premier League?
Well, I'd only done 11 games on the Football League, and then I got a letter inviting me onto the Premier League. And I say inviting with the nicest sense of the word, because you did get invited. You didn't get, this is it. You got invited. So it's up to you to say yes or no.
Mm.
My first game was Everton and Liverpool. I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it.
What a game.
It was a game of unbelievable interest, because people may look now and that there was an incident in the game opposite me where Graham Sharp scored for Everton, and Bruce Grobbelaar got hold of Steve McManaman and pushed him to the ground. That was opposite me.
That was his own player.
That was his own player. So we get us in at half-time. There was a furor because they thought that Grobbelaar should have been dismissed from the field of play. And the referee said, Mr. Jocelyn, he said, should you have brought something to my attention? So I just think that you try and keep out of things if you can, but if it hits you straight in the face, you get involved. Well, I didn't, and that referee was David Ellery, and I never brought it to his attention, and I still don't really know now. He wrote in his book about me not bringing it to his attention, but I don't think I did any harm because it catapulted me, really, Mark, that did.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So, obviously, Premier League, you did FA Cup final.
FA Cup final was a dream in 1998. Arsenal, Newcastle, poor, what a dream for myself, my family, and even a lot of people from Newark. I mean, wow. The messages I got from you people listening to this radio station was fantastic. Like I said earlier, you know who you are, but walking into that dressing room at the old Wembley, seeing 18, 19 teletext messages wishing me all the best was unbelievable, really. Was unbelievable. Never forget that. Still got them in my scrapbook at home. Still got them.
I bet you have. Phil, this is amazing. We're going to... Your career didn't stop there, Phil, did it? So we're going to talk about that when we get back. But it's amazing. Thanks. It's so interesting. We'll see you guys in a second.
Relax my eyes.
And welcome back to Radio Newark with Gorey and Phil, the legend referee from Newark. Phil, it's been amazing. Thank you so much. But before we go tonight, I just want to talk to you about, because it didn't stop there, did it, Phil? You got to the Premier League, got to the FA Cup final. And now, don't take this the wrong way, but for me, there is only one referee that was better than you, Phil. Right, and that was Pierluigi Collina. Do you remember him?
I do.
Bald-headed Italian.
I do.
Now, you must have met him, haven't you?
I did meet him.
Because this is where you escalated yourself.
Well, I did meet
onto
him.
Champions
when
League,
I went to... Yeah, I did meet him, and he was an interesting person. Interesting person. Yeah, he was. He was. But his record proved it was... Yeah, he refereed some fantastic games, and... Again, poor dear, he was very...
What kind of a character was he?
Yeah, controlling.
Controlling?
Yeah, controlling. He met us in an airport and he was very controlling, just like he did on the field of play. But now, of course, he's ahead of all the referees in UEFA. So, you know, he's doing good.
He would frighten me, Phil.
Yeah.
I would have never said anything.
Perhaps he frightened me.
But, so from running the line on the FA Cup final, you made your way over to the Champions League scene, didn't you?
Yeah, it was, and got to the Champions League, and I did loads of games abroad. It was absolutely magnificent, absolutely magnificent. Was involved in Euro 96, Champions League semi-final, which was really good. But again, it was lovely on the line, I loved it, but I always wanted to see what it was like in the middle. So... while I was doing really well on the line, I did want to try and progress to the referees list, because it would have been a little bit of a regret, really. Mm. Did well on the line and was, you know, people remember me lining perhaps more than doing my refereeing, but I did want to see how it was as team leader. And I kept that focus when I was refereeing, when I got back onto the National League. Although when I got invited back onto the National League, I honestly felt that I would get to the Football League as referee if I wanted.
Right.
The interview was incredible. They just said, was I dedicated? Was my family behind me? Wow. And they wanted me to referee on the Football League, and it was fantastic. It was my whole career, really.
So as a referee, what was the highest level you refereed at?
So refereed to the Championship.
Oh, brilliant.
To the Championship. Was never quite good enough, Mark, to get into that top 10, top 12s, never good enough, knew that, but I got up to, in my last season, I finished 14th in my last season, so I was happy at that, but, I was okay, I think I was okay in that era.
What makes them the top 10, is that like the performances are reviewed and then...
Well, you look at the best people, you look at the Dave Coutts of this world that can... got more, he can handle himself off the park, you know, they've just got that little bit of a... I just think there was that little bit better. The better referees have just got that, they just stand out that little bit. And I never thought that I always thought that I could referee and manage games on the Football League, but I never ever went above me what I thought I could achieve, really.
I mean, like, I think you underestimate yourself a bit, Phil, here, because I think, actually, you know, the dizzy heights of the Champions League, and even if you referee in the Championship, that is some feat.
It was
the Championship's not easy.
It was great, because, again, you know, you had some performances, Mark, that perhaps was not as good as you'd expected, and there was a couple of those towards the latter end of my refereeing career. My last game was, I didn't want to come off my last game having any regrets.
What age did you pack up for?
Yeah, 51. And it was the right age.
It was the right age.
You know, I let the Football League know that I did have a few health problems then. I knew I had, but I wanted to get through that final season, and I did.
Mm.
And I'd never been to Southampton. Southampton Sheffield United was my last game. And there was a lot of people from Newark that went to that game and supported me. Wow, thank you.
Well, thank you to them, because that was a long way to go for them.
Well, it was a great thanks to the people. And poor dear, we had a great time. But Phil Jossie wanted to referee that game like he'd never refereed another, and you know, it was magnificent. Southampton needed to win to stop up. Sheffield United needed to win to go into the playoffs. Full house. The PGMOL trusted me to manage that game, and I have to say that it was the best I refereed. So I've got no regrets at all, and people who's listening to this will know that I've perhaps had some poor performances, but I refereed brilliant that day. And even though I say that myself, you know, but the nicest thing about that, Mark, I'd never been to Southampton, and they invited Caroline and I into the boardroom at Southampton, and they looked after us fantastic. I'm getting goose pimples talking about it, but they gave me a signed shirt. Kevin Blackwell, manager of Sheffield United at the time, signed shirt from every Sheffield United player, and Nigel Pearson, manager of Southampton, did exactly the same. They looked after my wife fantastic, and I look back at that and think Gary Speed played in that game.
Wow. Yeah.
And Mark, how lucky here we are to sit here and to still be talking about it when, you know, players, referees, and you know, better than me are not here to
talk about,
you know,
it.
There's great people. So that's how fortunate I've been, really, Mark.
Oh, it's been amazing. It's an amazing career, Phil. So I've got a couple of questions before we turn off. Who's the best player you've ever refereed, in your opinion?
It has to be Lee
apart
Clark.
Apart from you, Mark.
Yeah, Lee Clark was a magnificent player.
Lee Clark. Okay.
Lee Clark was. Yeah. He was the most skillful player in my day that I'd refereed.
Lee Clark was at Newcastle.
Newcastle. And then he went in to manage Fulham, I think. And
he did. That's right.
But he was the best player that I'd refereed. The most skillful.
That's
player.
An interesting choice.
Yeah.
Who's the most famous player you sent off, Phil?
Well, I can remember sending Paul Rose off one day. I never sent Mark Gore off.
No, you didn't.
Do you know, Mark, I honestly say that it's not. I used to feel it was bad if I sent a player off.
Yeah. You got to earn it. In your day, you had to earn a red card to be sent off. These days, you just have to jump over it.
Yeah. But even in my day, if I sent somebody off, I'd failed somewhere, because we was allowed to perhaps overmanage in them days. But it's something that I've never really thought about, the red and yellow cards.
So, best game, was it the Southampton-Sheffield United game, in your opinion? Would that be the best game?
Yeah, best game I'd refereed. Done, you know, many games where, live on telly, the games went well. Macclesfield played Walsall in FA Cup game. This is funny. They had about 300 balls come on behind the goal, and had to stop play. That was funny, but did well in that game with the outside interference. Every game's been a dream. The Willie Hall Cup final was a great occasion. Mm. You know, great occasion. I went to Jersey and did the Moratti Cup. That was fantastic.
Yeah,
you know, fantastic. Jersey played Guernsey. You get carrots thrown onto the field. Yeah.
Oh, no. Phil, it's been amazing. And I'm sure we could carry on, couldn't we? But, look, really, really, thank you so much for coming in tonight. It's been amazing. I really, really appreciate that. And all the best to you and the family. We've got Dean Anderson coming on in a few minutes to do his soul show. Hopefully you stick around for that. But thank you, everybody, for listening tonight. And again, big thank you to Phil. Take care, Phil.
Brilliant. Thank you, Mark. Thank you.
All the best.
Tonight. Online, on FM, and up to date on social media. We are Radio Newark. With the latest news now.
The BMA say junior doctors and consultants in England are to go on strike together for the first time in the history of the NHS. They'll walk out on the 20th of September and the 2nd, 3rd and 4th of October. On each of these days, there will only be what's described as Christmas Day cover. More than 100 schools, nurseries and colleges in England have been ordered by the government to close classrooms and other buildings. It's because they contain a type of aerated concrete that is prone to collapse. Grant Shapps has been appointed Defence Secretary in Rishi Sunak's mini reshuffle, prompted by Ben Wallace's formal resignation. Emily Thornberry, who's Labour's Shadow Attorney General, has wished Mr. Shapps good luck in his new role, but advised him to listen to the advice of military chiefs.
I think that Grant Shapps is a talented politician. I wish him well, and I hope that he listens to the advice of the experts who will be in the MOD.
Meanwhile, Claire Coutinho replaces Grant Shapps as the Secretary of State for Energy Security and Net Zero. Gareth Southgate says Raheem Sterling is not particularly happy to have been overlooked for an England recall. While Sterling was overlooked, Southgate kept the faith with England vice-captain Jordan Henderson, despite his controversial move to Saudi Arabia club Al Ettifaq. Announcing the squad for upcoming games against Ukraine and Scotland, Southgate said he was aware of the upset it would cause LGBTQ plus fans.
We have to accept that criticism, but it's not intentional that we would feel that we'd let down any of our fans. These are all very complex situations that we're trying to do our best at navigating.
And figures from the Royal Mint show that no 2p coins were minted last year. That's despite 117 million being made the year before. That's the latest from Radio News Hub. I'm Edward Breslin.
Are rising costs forcing you into unaffordable debt? An individual voluntary arrangement from